हरिः ॐ सहनवतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सवीर्यङ्करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः ॐ जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिव सरि गौर भक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे
Okay, page 59. This with, quote-unquote, indicates one action with the principal and secondary agent, as in, quote, the father eats with the son, end quote. The senses actually leave secondarily, and the jiva actually leaves primarily. The senses cannot leave figuratively since they cannot give up an identity. And this figurative meaning would be inconsistent with the Gita statement of the Atma, taking with it the senses and leaving the body. In this way, the theory of jiva and Brahman being like air in a pot, and air in the sky, separated by false identity, and thus the theory that the jiva, being Brahman, is all-pervading, and only has a false idea of leaving the body, is refuted as a childish argument. Because the senses, the jiva goes, it takes the senses with it. It can't go, it's not that... Lord Chaitanya makes the point that the Upanishads speak directly. And so Vedanta Sutra being the essence, it also speaks directly. But then others interpret it indirectly. All these other interpretations, they're all indirect interpretations. They're not direct interpretations. Right? Because when you say it leaves, means he leaves. No, they say, well, he doesn't actually leave, it's figurative, and this and that. You know what I'm saying? So that's the point, is that it goes together. Right? So here, that's the point. With indicates an action with a principal and secondary agent. So with means the primary is the soul, and it goes with the senses as the secondary. Does that make sense? So there's no question that the soul doesn't leave because it's actually, you know, big. Because that's the thing. How can it leave? It's too big.
But Maharaji sees only in the material world, in the material senses.
Yeah, because you don't have to... The spiritual body is no question of leaving.
Yes, yes.
Like that. Because the spiritual body we have is covered. It's not... We haven't left it. It's covered.
Yes.
So that makes sense? Mm. Yeah. Bhagavatam verse reference. Srimad Bhagavatam 11:22, 37, and 39. Lord Krishna said, "The material mind of men is shaped by the reactions of fruitive work. Along with the 5 second senses, it travels from one material body to another. The spirit soul, although different from this mind, follows it. When the living entity passes from the present body to the next body, which is created by his own karma, he becomes absorbed in the pleasurable and painful situations of the new body and completely forgets the experience of the previous body. This total forgetfulness of one's previous material identity, which comes about for one reason or another, is called death." Mm-hmm. Right? So death means that you've forgotten about the last one.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Right? Footnote 29. The BBT purport explains, "Depending on one's karma, or fruit of activities, one may achieve a beautiful, wealthy, or powerful body, or be degraded to an abominable condition of life. Taking birth in heaven or in hell, the living entity learns to completely identify his ego with the new body, and thus becomes absorbed in the pleasure, fear, opulence, or suffering of the new body, completely forgetting the experiences of the previous body. Death occurs when the specific karma allotted to a physical body is finished. Since that particular body's karma is used up, it can no longer act upon one's mind. In that way, one forgets the previous body. The new body is created by nature so that one can experience the karma currently, in fact. Consequently, one's entire consciousness becomes absorbed in one's current body in order that one can fully experience the results of his previous activities. Because what that means, you have karma, you perform activities, you get a result. So then you have to have a body and situations in which that can be achieved. Right? Consequently, one's entire consciousness becomes absorbed in one's current body in order that one can fully experience the results of his previous activities. Because a living entity falsely identifies himself as the body, bodily death is experienced as death of the soul. Actually, however, the soul is eternal and never subject to creation or annihilation. This analytic knowledge of self-realization is easily understood in Krishna consciousness. Srimad Bhagavatam 11.22.39. Right, so what is figurative and what's not? Then in Krishna consciousness you can understand it very easy. But if you're not in Krishna consciousness, you can't understand it.
Yes.
Right, because you're dealing with Krishna and his creation. So without being Krishna conscious, you can't actually understand the creation or Krishna or the soul. Right? And you can't actually fully understand anything.
Yes.
Right? Does that make sense? You have some particular idea, but it's in connection with trying to control and enjoy.
Yes.
Like that. So that will always remain. So then there's always these things are always going to come up because they, by the modes of nature, have a particular way they want to control and enjoy. Therefore, they have a specific philosophy to support that.
Yes.
Yes. So makes sense.
Maharaj, as you said earlier that Upanishads speak direct, but still
yes.
They are misconstruing the interpretation. So that the reason being only because they're not Krishna conscious, that even the direct statements are being misunderstood. Can
yes.
You see that?
Yes. Yes. Okay. Sutra 2220. No, 2320. Purva Paksha, so the argument. The jiva is not atomic because Brihad Aranyaka Upanishad 4422 says the opposite. It is great in size. Right? Sava esha mahan sa atma. The atma is great, right? They add size because great can mean so many things.
Yes.
You know, just like you eat something and go, wow, this is great. Does that mean it's big?
Yes.
You know? So that's the whole point, is that they add size to it. The doubt is answered in the next sutra. Nanur atach truter iti chen netara dikarat, not anu, atom, atat, not that, shutehe, from the scriptures, iti, thus, chet, is, na, not, itara, other, adikarat, because of being appropriate. If you argue that the jiva is not atomic because of the statement that it is large, the answer is no, because the atma described as large is actually paramatma, by context. Right? Because then, here, because we're remember before us, all these words originally are in connection with the Supreme.
Yes.
And then from that, then they can be used in the local context.
Yes.
Right? Means of things of Krishna's creation, because they're all coming from Him. So it actually is Him, but then you can also refer to it, you know, in its, how you say, ordinary context.
Yes. Yes.
Right? So then here, the great is meaning, Atma mean is the super soul. So he's great. He's unlimited. So they're not being able to tell the difference between verses that say the soul is unlimited and the soul's limited.
Yes.
So they're taking it's all about one thing. No, but they're talking about when it says unlimited, that means super soul. When it says limited, that means the jiva.
Yes.
Right? And even the word jiva can mean Krishna because he's the life force behind everything.
Yes.
Right?
Yes. Without the parampara, we cannot understand.
No, that's the whole point. Is that without? That's why it says is that if you have material attachment, you have to follow varnashram.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
But if you don't perform devotional activities, then there's no real use to varnashram.
Yes.
Means you'll be in the mode of goodness, and then you'll die. And the soul gets no benefit, right? So, therefore, without devotional service, then the varnashram has no meaning.
Yes.
But without surrendering to the bona fide spiritual master and following the instructions, then devotional service doesn't actually become serious.
Yes.
Like that. So that's the whole point, is that you have to go through these stages.
Yes.
So it's hearing the instructions actually makes it work.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why without hearing from the Parampara, then we won't understand.
Yes.
So that's why, you know, Prabhupada's books, his purports, then the comments of the Acharyas,
yes.
then that with that only we can understand.
Yes.
Like that. Right? Because they won't make any mistake. Vyas doesn't make any mistake in the Vedanta Sutra, because he's transcendental.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And then in the same way as that the Acharyas, they're not going to make any mistake. Sutra Prakashita. The opponents are attempting to prove that the jiva is all-pervading. Herein, the Sutrakara stresses that the jiva is atomic, and the greatness spoken of in a passage refers to Paramatma. Hence, the jiva is not all-pervading. This point about the all-pervasiveness of the Lord was previously proven in Vedanta Sutra 138, Guma samprasadad adyupadeshat. That Bhuma refers to the Lord. Here, Bhuma does not refer to numerical quantity, many, but to great pervasiveness or largeness of form. Right? Because otherwise you think it's numerical quantity, the unlimited jivas,
mm-hmm.
like that. But no, this means that the Lord, how he's all-pervading. Footnote 30. Srila Jiva Goswami explains that the, quote-unquote, all-pervading aspect refers to Paramatma and not the atomic jiva. Sometimes it is seen that the jiva is described as all-pervading, meaning huge. Sava esha mahan sa mahan aja atma yo yam vijnana maya praneshu. This great atma filled with knowledge exists in all beings.
Yes.
Right, so it's obviously super soul.
Yes.
Brihad Aranyaka Upanishad 4.4.22. Satyam jnanam anantam brahma. Brahman is internal and infinite knowledge. Taittiriya Upanishad 2.1.2. This indicates not the jiva, but Brahman. Since previously in the same scripture, the jiva was also mentioned in order to point out Brahman, like showing Arundhati's star in the sky. Vedanta generally speaks of Paramatma. Pervasion and eternal existence are qualities of Paramatma. The word Mahat will be explained later. Sometimes the plural is used for Atma when referring to Paramatma. The plural does not refer to many jivas, but shows respect for Paramatma. Saatmedam Srijati. Atma created the world. Atma here refers to Paramatma. Paramatma Sandarbha. Clear on this? Yeah?
But Maharaj, when it was said, this great Atma filled with knowledge exists in all beings, so it seems Paramatma. So they need to have another translation?
You noticed when they quoted before, they didn't quote all of this. They only they stopped at that, at the Atma part. Yeah, see, they just come up to the Atma is great.
Yes, yes.
They didn't put that he is knowledge and he is infinite and eternal and all those kind of things.
Yes.
So they'll just take what part is good for them.
Yes,
you know, just
yes.
like, let's say you're having a conversation, you're making one point.
Yes.
And in making that point, you use a word.
Yes.
That you have a particular context for the word. Now, The opponent. Then they take one word, that one word, take it out of context, forget everything out you're saying, and then take that word in their context, and now use it as an argument against you.
Yes.
But they're not actually trying to understand what you're saying. It's just a matter of winning an argument. See, because in an argument, you just want to establish that what you're saying is right. You don't really care about defeating others, other than that it shows that you're right.
Mm-hmm.
Because whether others follow what you do or not, you're still going to do what you do. Mm-hmm. But now if others also follow, it just makes it more, you know, stronger, more confident.
Mm-hmm.
you know, then you have community.
Yes.
Yeah, you understand. So the point comes down is that it's not about actually establishing the absolute truth. It's just a matter of maintaining one's particular attachment.
Mm.
So that's what the whole material world's about. Yes. Is material attachment. So we're trying to give up material attachment for spiritual attachment.
Yes. Mm.
And so that aspect, that's the difficult part.
Mm.
Because as mentioned, the soul is leaving, and then it's called death because then it gets a new identity. So as long as this identity is there, then you consider, you know, you're in good standing. Let us say, just for an example, someone, let's say, was a very respected person. You know, like, let's say, a great politician or a great person in the military. Then something goes wrong and they're dishonored. So to them, now they don't have an identity in which they can function. So for it's like death.
Yes.
Like that. So then until they kind of create a new identity and can move forward,
yes,
you know, they move out into the province and then, you know, take up farming potatoes or something. You know, then now they have a new identity, now they can function.
Yes.
So
identity is the nature of the jiva, you can say. Either conditional.
It means it's servant of Krishna is that, and identity naturally is there because how are you servant unless you're an individual? Yeah, but you function because you're an identity. That's the point of Achintya Veda Veda Tattva, is that the oneness means that you have community. The difference means you're an individual, so you can interact. Does that make sense? You know, just like the material energy, it's one with Krishna in that it's his potency, and through that he is doing everything. But it's different in that it's separated potency, so it doesn't represent him as a person.
In Maharaj, all energy of Krishna are the same? Like the jiva is also like Krishna and different from Krishna?
Yes, it means him and his energy. So his Sarup Shakti, he is different and non-different. And so that means all the subdivisions of the Sarup Shakti.
Mm-hmm.
So that means the internal, external, and jivas.
Mm-hmm.
It will mean all three. And then from there, all the, you know, yes, breakdown from that.
And same thing for the name also. There is a primary name Krishna and secondary name for everything.
Yes. Yes, and so it's all Krishna, but as a person, that's not the important aspect. The secondary names are not important in respect to interacting with the person.
Yes.
It's the primary names that are important. Yeah. Bhagavatam verse reference, Srimad Bhagavatam 10.87.30. If the countless living entities... Oh, we're here. Sri Govindavasi, yeah. Siddhanta. This is not so. Why? Because this statement refers to Paramatma, which is the subject of discussion in that text. Topic starts with a description of the jiva. Yoyam vijnana maya praneshu. The jiva consisting of knowledge is surrounded by the pranas. Right? In the middle of the passage, however, the topic is not the jiva, but the Supreme Lord, since it describes his greatness, such as yas yanu vita pratibuddha atma. Knowing him, one becomes enlightened. Right? So this is important, because here, you see, the jiva consisting of knowledge, right, is surrounded by the prana. So the jiva consists of knowledge. So that's why gaining knowledge is not actually the purpose of Krishna consciousness.
Yes.
Because
yes,
that's already there.
Yes.
It's a matter of the actual knowledge is covered. So you have to uncover that knowledge by removing the ignorance. And how do you do that? Through devotional service.
Yes.
So the devotional service purifies. So by chanting the Lord's name and the association of devotees, hearing Bhagavatam, living in the Dham, serving the deities, that purifies the heart. That natural knowledge comes out. Because it says here, knowing him, one becomes enlightened. Not through knowledge, but knowing Krishna, one actually is enlightened. So that's the weakness in Jnana Yoga, is that due to attachment, one may think that this knowledge is what's actually making one advance. No, it's serving Krishna is what's making you advance. So you happen to be studying the scriptures, and so that association with Krishna, that's why you're advancing, not because of knowledge. Yes.
Sometimes devotees, they following the progression Sat, Chit, and Ananda, saying that the Sat, it's always there, we exist somehow, somewhere. And then Ananda, actually to experience Ananda, we need knowledge because it comes before it. You know, we need Chit. And then without Chit, we can actually experience Ananda. Is that so?
But the point is what knowledge is that?
Transcendental knowledge.
And so that means it's about Krishna. So then if you're looking at it, is the Chit actually just knowledge? Or is the Chit activities of devotional service? How do you do an activity? Can you do an activity without any knowledge?
Not really.
So, in other words, the knowledge is for the purpose of performing the activity.
Okay.
So it's the devotional activities that Krishna, being pleased, he reveals himself. Because he is knowledge. Why? Just because you have knowledge now, he should reveal himself. Because if we're already Satchitananda, he's Satchitananda, so what's the big deal? So it's bhakti. It's the devotion that attracts the Lord. That's what becomes special. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
That's the whole point. So he's only attracted by that. Knowledge is a secondary thing. Knowledge and detachment are just things that come along with devotion. They don't need to be separately endeavored for. We can think, no, but unless you're renounced, how can you be Krishna conscious? No, but you can't become renounced unless you're Krishna conscious. Right? How will we become renounced? Right? We're the jiva, we're energy, and energy is attached to things. It's dependent. How are we going to become renounced? Right? It's not a possibility. So it's by devotional service that you attach to Krishna, means we're not attached to Maya. That's the renunciation. But if we try to renounce Maya without becoming attached to Krishna, it'll be very, very difficult. That's why you see these big jnanis and that, they become very dry. And the heart very hard, because they're doing something that's not natural for them. The problem is that they're trying to move forward from the external energy. That's good. But they're not moving into the spiritual energy. That's the natural position. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So this whole point that the knowledge is important, no, it's only because it's about Krishna. So if you remember Krishna, then you forget Maya. You know, it's just like it says here, death. Death means you forget the previous body. So when we're not absorbed in our purva samskar, but we're absorbed in the present of devotional service, then there's no attachment to the previous. It's a positive process. The negative is just there, so you're aware of it, so you're careful. You know, it's just like you're saying you're walking. The walking is the positive. You know, the negatives don't get too close to the edge. But it's not about the edge. It's about walking. So devotional service also. Then knowledge and detachment, they come as a natural thing. They're a side thing that just come. When the creeper first starts, knowledge and detachment come along with it. But it's the attachment to Krishna. You know, then from that absorbed attachment to Krishna, you naturally become absorbed. It's not that the absorption you become attached. It's because you're attached, you become absorbed. It's just like this. If you're hungry, if you're not hungry, then by thinking of food, you don't necessarily become hungry. Right? You understand? But if you're hungry, then so easily you can think about food.
Yes.
You can go on for hours thinking of different recipes and how you'll do and this cooked this way and that way, and so many things you get, and you become more and more attached.
Yes.
Right? Yeah. Does that make sense? So the main thing is attachment to Krishna. Remembrance of him, that will just come along with it. Does that make sense? So we always have to understand there's a primary and a secondary. Like the soul leaves the body, and then the senses and that go with it. So in the same way you become attached to Krishna, you're always remembering Krishna. So if you always remember Krishna, never forget Krishna, means develop attachment to Krishna and give up attachment to Maya. That's actually how things work. Right? The primary already includes the secondary, but the secondary, we can see, can be seen separately from the primary. Right? So if we take the secondary as more important than it is, that's material consciousness. And when we see that secondary is only useful in as much as it supports the primary, then that's proper consciousness. So therefore, all the knowledge, all the detachment, all the morality, all the knowledge we have, our management skills and our being professional and all these will not help devotional, they will not create devotional service, not one of them. But if they're engaged in Krishna service, then they can be a very nice thing. You know what I'm saying? You can do nice things for Krishna. But to think that, no, but if I develop, this particular knowledge, then I will be more Krishna conscious. No. Because Krishna is already not. He's already the material energy. And we're dealing with that, and we're not becoming Krishna conscious. So why would this another aspect we would become Krishna conscious? So it's only when we deal directly with Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead in devotion, that frees us from the material entanglement. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Well, devotees have doubts sometimes, and now it's very much emphasized, is that we've heard so much about primary, but still without knowing secondary in details, we can't apply that primary, because...
Yeah, but the point is, yes,
but
do we have so much? So much is how much you have realized. Does that make sense? That's the whole point. You know, it's just like, let's say it rains in the whole district. But does that matter? It's what water is on your garden that matters. You know, your pumpkins grow because of the water that fell in your garden. It doesn't matter that unlimited water fell in the district. You know what I'm saying? So this need to constantly bring the attention from the primary back to the secondary as if the secondary makes the primary work. No, the secondary simply maintains the body. That's all it does. It doesn't do anything else. That's it. The primary is what maintains the soul. Right? We identify with the body, we engage the body in Krishna service. But the soul does not need a material body to engage in Krishna service. The spiritual body works quite fine. You know what I'm saying? So, therefore, the particular knowledge and skill that go with that body are the conditioned nature. Right? Someone's a manager, they learn management, that's their conditioned nature. They connect that to Krishna, that's the perfection. So, whether someone is big enough manager to manage the whole world, or he can only, manage his little pawn shop or whatever it is. You know, and that's not the full one. That's the one that's underneath. Right? You know, he's down there, and the guy up on top, he's selling, something else. You know, that's all he can manage. Fine. But the point is that connection to Krishna is what's great. We're taking it that the body of knowledge itself, let's say, of this management is great. You know, protagonists here. You know, they're taking it that the soul is great and unlimited and like that. It's not. It's atomic. So the point is that we're engaging the secondary in Krishna service, just because that's our nature. But the point is service means hearing about Krishna, chanting about Krishna, remembering Krishna. Right, worshipping the deity, associating with devotees, studying, hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, living in the Dham. That's primary. And management, if you can manage that, the temple's clean so you have a nice program, it's in support of. Right? But the point is the holy name being independent. We're going and chanting Hari Nam down the street, which is not clean. You know what I'm saying? You know, especially depending on which street you go down, right? You know, it's even less clean. And if you're in Calcutta doing Hari Nam, the whole thing is not clean, right? Yeah. Does that make sense? So it has to be understood is that, yes, these things, you maintain the body through the secondary knowledge. And you can say is that it's an ornament, you know, to the soul. But it's only an ornament. Right? The person themselves is more important than the ornaments. You can say, well, ornament makes them look nice, but the point is ornaments on their own, what's the point? Does that make sense? So this kind of nature then makes us go from what do you call it? Because we're starting with knowledge, like that, because it's the most, how you say, noble of all of them. That, you know, okay, we have the primary, but the secondary knowledge is so important. And then as soon as we've accepted that, then it'll go, yes, but knowledge, but unless we can apply it, so actually being able to influence people and manage and all that, that's actually the most important. This knowledge is a bit theoretical. And the other thing is, well, but how are you going to manage and influence people unless you have money? Therefore, money's the honey. That's the real point. Right? And then you get down to, yeah, but if we don't work, then your factory doesn't even function, so therefore we're the top guys. Right? Does that make sense?
Yeah.
It just keeps going down like that, you know, until you get down to, you know, how you say, there was a discussion about all the organs of the body. You know, they were arguing who's the best, who's the supreme. So, you know, the one saying, the heart's saying, well, without me, this, that. The brain's saying, no, but this and that, and this one and that. So everybody makes their point, you know, without the liver, you don't digest, without the food, you know, this. And at the end, then the anus said, well, actually, I'm the supreme. And then they all laugh, all of them, like that. He said, okay. So then, you know, there was no passing stool. And so after days, then the brain doesn't function, the heart's getting weak, everything's falling apart. And then he goes, see? So if we follow this line of thought, that's where we're going to end up. Because we only use knowledge, because if we start off with money, it sounds bad. And management, if we could get by, we would skip the knowledge part. We just go straight for the management. But as soon as the managers are there, the guys who are doing all the collection, without them, then hey. Because that's the modern, that's the bourgeois culture, is that money is the thing. Right? Before it was influence, before that was the Brahmins. Right? Does that make sense? So it's just like that. It's just slowly, slowly. You see, as Kali Yuga goes, it comes down. You know, the socialist state is about the people, right? But if you don't organize the people, they don't make money anyway. Don't know what to do. You know, so you can always take it back up. But the point is that it's the primary is the real thing. And then the secondary, because there's so much variety of secondary. There's one Krishna and unlimited energies. So it's all about the interaction between Krishna and the energies. Yes, it's there, but it's about Krishna interacting with the energies. So that's why it always has to be the primary. You can say, oh, we have so much primary. Do we? Why would we say there's so much that Mother Jashoda is sad? Oh, I got so much Krishna. You know, let me go out and, you know, do some sunbathing or something, you know. You know what I'm saying? So anyone who say we have so much Krishna doesn't have much Krishna at all. Otherwise, why would they say that? You know what I'm saying? It's just like, okay, here we have, you know, we bring out a big pizza, right? Oh, we have so much pizza, but what about the salt? You know, the salt is thing. Without the salt here, you know, then you don't get the flavor, you don't get the this and that. Then we just focus on the salt, play with the lid, take it off, take it on, pour a pile, put some back, you know, like that, screw it back on, you know, make it nice and nice shape. And yeah? That's the whole point. It's the pizza you're eating, not the salt. You know, and even we take that, the point is Krishna's that knowledge anyway. Even when we want to look at it from that secondary viewpoint, all the secondary that we value is all Krishna anyway. It's his potency. So without his pleasure, you're not going to learn it anyway. You can say we have to know all this management. You won't learn one bit of management unless Krishna's pleased. If you have the karma that you know, but then you would have already been a manager before, you wouldn't say that. But if you say, no, management is important, means you're not actually that great of a manager. There's some attachment, some identity with it. Those people are actually successful who just, you know, they're getting something done and you happen to manage. Like I'm making money and I happen to manage it. But those who put the emphasis on the management, but management means you manipulate something to get a result. What's the result you want? We see the difference. They're not looking at, even within the secondary or the material, you know, the more important aspect, the metaphysical or the subtle and all those things. So that's why you do something. Right? I go through the mechanics of sticking the toast in the toaster and, you know, seeing it's plugged in and adjusting it and pushing the thing down and, to get to, for what? Because the manipulation of that is the important thing? No, it's to get toast. So someone who's actually expert at it doesn't think about the machine. They know what to do. But when the emphasis is so much on the machine, you're talking about people that don't know how really they're new at it. If we're talking on the bigger picture. You know? And so the ultimate point has to be to please Krishna, to understand Krishna. Otherwise, all these things, one's just going to get distracted. You know? Because that knowledge is Krishna anyway. And without following the laws concerning that knowledge that Krishna gives, you're not going to learn it anyway. Is that? Yeah. Like that. So it's. We always have to see is that it's always going to be, yeah, but, and go back. Yes. You know, we're here, we have to do this, only Krishna, yeah, but. How you say in Sanskrit is two.
Yes.
Two. T U.
Yes.
No. T U.
Yes.
Two.
Yes.
That in yes. American is yeah, but.
Now we are so much used to be the primary ourselves.
Yes.
That's a good point.
That's a good point, because that means the point why we think that. Because we're thinking so much talk about Krishna as the primary. What about me as the primary? Yeah. You know, we haven't heard enough about that. You know?
Yeah,
because all those things you're saying, no, but I have to do this and that, that's going to help you as primary, not Krishna. You know what I'm saying? Is that how much time would it take for you to actually take up the process of, let's say, learning management and become actually very good at it, that we would consider that it's on a professional level? In the modern context.
A long time.
You're talking about years. Yeah. 10, 20 years, right? Now, if you preached, if you were convinced of the primary, and you preached the primary aspect to actual real managers for 20 years, how many people would there be who could manage everything? There'd be tons of people. Right? And in the process, they don't get distracted. But in the process of us learning, we might get distracted. Over 20 years, you can get quite lost.
Yeah.
You know? Does that make sense? So that's the whole thing, is that Prabhupada said, we don't need to become these things. We preach to people who are already doing those things. Otherwise, what's the point? You know, we don't have to become the politician. We preach to politicians. We don't have to become the academic. We preach to academics. We don't have to become the professional. We preach to the professionals. And they're quite happy with that. You're the sadhu. You know beyond what they know. They only know this because they can tell the difference. They're good at the material knowledge and they know that it's not actually the ultimate. Otherwise, why aren't they happy? Why are they turning to the devotees? So it's the devotees on this superior position. And that's only because it's connected to Krishna. Right? So then, when the living entities connect to Krishna, that's the point. So those persons that can inspire you in that process and keep you enthused in that process, then they are, you know, senior. So there's no problem that we don't know all these things. What does it matter? You know what I'm saying? You know, we're worried, oh, I don't have this degree, that degree. All you have to do is tell them you've been living, you know, you've been a Hare Krishna monk living in a monastery for the last 40 years. That's not going to get you, that's not going to get you somewhere? Right? No? Amongst these kind of people, you're telling, I've lived in a monastery for 40 years. They're going to go, wow, that's cool. They haven't done anything straight for 40 years. Right? Yeah, they'll be very impressed, especially if it's been something more exotic, you know, been around and then this and that, you know. That is, despite popularity, exotic is actually people, intelligent people like exotic. Ordinary people, exotic may be a bit much for them. But for anyone with brains and culture, and especially more professional, exotic is where it's at. So, yeah.
Maharaj, you mentioned about chitti, which is actions performed in Krishna consciousness. So in terms of sambandha abhaya pravijana, can we say that sata is sambandha, chitta is abhidhaya, and other?
And ananda is prayojana. Yeah, you can say like that. Means it all. Everything satchit anand. I mean, everything is sambandha, abhidaya, and prayojana. Lord Chaitanya says that's all. That those are the three topics of the scriptures, and from that, then you can put everything into that, right? So within sambandha, abhidaya, and prayojana, then as in the sambandha section, then you will have, you know, as the vibhav of the three, then you're going to have the internal, external, and the jivas, right? Then in the abhideya or the chit aspect, you're going to have icha, kriya, and jnana. Then in the prayojana aspect, then you're going to have sandini, ladini, and sambit. Right? It's the same thing. It's just those three features is whether you're bringing out the prayojana, the abhideya, or the sambandha aspect. Does that make sense?
That was very fun.
I mean, we've been talking about this for years, but it's now been put into one
yes,
format.
Yes.
So.
Yes.
Yeah, because once the vibhav is sambandha, the prabhav is the abhideya, and the anubhav is the prayojana.
At least it is easy to remember sambandha,
abhideya, and prayojana. Yeah, that's why we've always done those, because those we stick, and then we try to stick everything else into that.
What is it,
vibhav, prabhav? Vibhav, prabhav, and anubhav. These are three features of the same thing. Yes, sambandha, abhideya, and prayojana.
I didn't hear vibhav, prabhav.
We talked about it before, so many times.
It's a new one.
A new kid on the block.
Maharaj, can we say that these three, like, in the three categories in Vibhav, the three in Prabha and the three in the Anubhav, you know, are interrelated to each other?
Why wouldn't they be? Sambandha, Abhideya, Prayojana is not interrelated. Everything's related. Because each one of them represents sambandha, abhideya, and prayojana within their area. So sambandha you can divide into sambandha, abhideya, and prayojana. Abhideya into sambandha, abhideya, prayojana. And prayojana, sambandha, abhideya, and prayojana. So that's one of the ways you can divide. It's just one of them. It's so many aspects. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Yeah, because prabhav means the influence. Means the activity is what influences. That's what causes the transformation. Like that, and then the different tastes, you know, then that's what you get in the sandini, sambit, and ladini. So that's within rasa. One's within the activities. One's within what is their identity. Right? You know, you have the internal potency, the external, and then the jiva that can choose to identify with one or the other. Does that make sense? More?
Yeah. Okay. The marriage test came after identification. If we identify with the we can say spiritual energy after we can have spiritual test.
Yes, yes.
We can just identify with a material thing, we have material test.
At least the theory will have material taste, but we're trying, we're working at it.
Yes.
And we've come to Krishna consciousness because we have a doubt that can you actually enjoy on the material platform? We have a doubt. We haven't given it up, you know, like that. So that's why the previous conversation is all the no buts, you know. Because as soon as you bring up, you have to be renounced. But we have to engage. Yeah. But that's why the definition is given of yukta vairagya, is that you're in the material body, in the material world. Therefore, without attachment to the material body or the material world, you engage the activities connected to that to Krishna. So that the vairagya is, it's not about you, it's for Krishna.
Yes.
And the yukta means it's connected to Krishna. And connected means how Krishna is interested that it's connected.
Yes.
Yes. Does that make sense?
Krishna first.
Yes, Krishna's first. Yeah. Somehow or another, I think Krishna's first. Yeah. Okay. Bhagavatam verse reference. If the countless living entities were all pervading and possessed forms that never change, you could not possibly be their absolute ruler. O immutable one. But since they are your localized expansions and their forms are subject to change, you do control them. Indeed, that which supplies the ingredients for the generation of something is necessarily its controller, because a product never exists apart from its ingredient cause. Okay, so much for how, right? It is simply illusion for someone to think that he knows the Supreme Lord, who is equally present in each of his expansions, since whatever knowledge one gains by material means must be imperfect. Right? So by material means you gain knowledge, it has to be imperfect. One, it won't be complete on the material platform, let alone on the spiritual. Right? You can't know the spiritual except by grace of Krishna. Right? We perform our service, Krishna being pleased, then he reveals himself. Right? So, we're studying Srimad Bhagavatam and the Vedic literatures, not for knowledge, but as service to Krishna. In the process, Krishna reveals himself and we gain knowledge. Otherwise, if you, let's say you have a good memory and stuff like that, you memorize so many things, but that doesn't mean you know Krishna. That's why it mentions that one should not read, only partially read many literatures, just to be able to expand on an explanation. Right? That one is reading properly to understand Krishna.
Krishna is primary, isn't living service too. Because everything is dedicated to Krishna.
As a devotee, yes, then it's there. But still, the activities that we would call the living, because you have to have symptoms, that we would all consider secondary. It's the attitude of devotion, that's the primary. Because you can always tell the difference between Krishna and his energies. They're non-different, but at the same time, they're different. We get confused because we see sometimes a similar... let's say we're discussing difference, then we'll see the aspects within it that are similar, and then it'll create a doubt. Or if we're discussing the things that are similar, then we'll see the differences, and that'll create a doubt.
Yes.
What we have to understand is that both of these simultaneously exist. That's Krishna's position. He's inconceivable. He's God. Is that okay?
That's an invocation to Sri Upanishad on Purnam.
Yes. Yes.
It's inconceivable.
Yes. He's complete, and whatever emanates is also complete.
Yes.
You know. So that's just him.
Yes.
So we have our own ideas how it should work because we're not like that. So we try to attribute our qualities to God and God's qualities to ourselves, like that. Somehow or another, we don't. We're not so generous the other way around. Yeah. Footnote 31. Srila Sanatana Goswami explains that, and quote unquote, all pervading jiva implies the jiva is equal to God. Hence, this is not Hence, this not being the fact, the jiva isn't all-pervading. To define the nature of another jiva, of other jiva, he is first rejected as being a supreme entity. The jivas are unlimited in number. Apari mita. Right? One never sees lack of a multitude of jivas, right? Especially in India. Right? There's no lack of multitudes of jivas. Like that. Since from beginningless time they were released from the Lord during every Mahakalpa, they are eternal, Dhruvaha, according to the Vaishnava. Since when they destroy their material bodies, coverings of ignorance, they attain spiritual bodies. But if these eternal, unlimited jivas were all-pervading, they would not be under your control, being equal to you. They are otherwise not all-pervading, since the spark is not separate from the fire. The fire is its controller, since the spark is its umsa and small. Chit Shakti has two types, supreme and ordinary. The supreme Chit Shakti resides in the Lord, and by his mercy, a special portion of that resides in the associates in the spiritual world. The ordinary Chit Shakti resides in the jivas, time and pradhan. After Mahapralaya, the jivas endowed with ordinary Chit Shakti, like sparks of a fire, covered by beginningless ignorance, manifest from the Lord as Vasudev or Paramatma, the form of great consciousness. They are controlled by the Lord. Yeah. So then they manifest from the Lord, like that. They're unlimited, but they're small. They're controlled because they're not all pervading. Quote: at the end of Brahma's life, the jiva should not obtain liberation at all. O knower of Dharma, I ask the reason. If all jivas attain liberation in each kalpa, the universe would become empty and there would be no time. Vishnu Dharma. Asked by Vajra, Markandeya answered, when men were liberated in the created world, where they reside, the Lord with his Achintya Shakti fills it up. Those who attain Brahma Loka attain liberation with Brahma. Other persons are created in the Mahakalpa. All jivas are measured out. This occurs in all kalpas. O King, it is said the jivas are created. How can they be without beginning? The unlimited jivas remain in a special cavity of the Lord, the Lord's Maya Shakti, since the jivas have piles of waiting karmas. Right, so he says they're created means that they come out of this, they manifest from these external potencies.
What means all jivas are measured out?
Well, the jivas are measured out. It means for the universe to function, you only need so many jivas. Mm-hmm. Right, you want 10 guys there at the counter when you go to buy the ticket? And each one's fighting with the other. No, I got it. No, I got it. Like that. No, let me serve. What do you mean? You did it last time. Is that what you want? No, so one guy's enough, right? Yeah, so like that. You only have how many jivas you require.
Okay.
And then when they go and you go back to Godhead, then new jivas come in. So don't worry, it won't get empty.
A lot of traveling.
But as we know, they're not created. So here the created means we're discussing about their conditioned situation.
Yes.
We know the jiva is eternal. So if it talks about creation of the jiva, it means the body and all that, that they identify with as themselves.
Yes.
So, among them, some manifest in a particular kalpa. That is called sarga. They are not created. These jivas are small particles, since Shruti is described in this, the size of the tip of a spoke. Aham shukshmanam apyaham jiva. As small things, I am the jiva. Srimad Bhagavatam 11:16:11. Quote, if a tip of a hair is divided into 100 pieces, and then each into 1,000, and then each again is divided again into 100, that is the size of the jiva, Vishnu Dharmotra. The Vishnu Dharma and the Vishnu Dharmottara are the same or different?
I have no idea what it is.
You know?
I thought it was the same.
I always thought it was the same. Somehow or another, it's just in the printing. Then. Okay.
It shouldn't be the same because it's saying it's Dharmottara.
I've only heard of Vishnu Dharmottara. Mm-hmm. Never heard of Vishnu Dharma.
Okay.
Maybe.
This is the same way it is printed in the Sandarbhas. Let me check. I think it will be easy to check because Vajranab and Markandeya discussion. I'll check.
Okay. Yeah, interesting. The Vajra, that's when we saw after the Dwarka became Apricot, then who was left? Then they were taken to Hastinapur, and Vajra was made the king. Right? Okay. Those small particles, they pervade the body by their consciousness, just as a lamp spreads light in a room. The small jiva brings life to the body by its special influence of consciousness. By influence, a magnet makes a piece of iron near it move, even though it's small. Right? Quote, just as a drop of sandalwood oil spreads throughout the body, the atomic jiva spreads throughout the body and remains there. Ramananda Purana. Though this is the general surup of all jivas, by the influence of bhakti, the surup of the devotees, manifesting astonishing shakti, is very different. They experience the Lord since the Lord is attracted to bhakti alone. To others, he is neutral. Srimad Bhagavatam 10:87:30.
It mentions that Vishnu Dharma and Vishnu Dharmottara are different Puranas.
Oh, they're different. Okay.
So Krishna mentioned that I'm smaller than the smaller. Means he is smaller than the jiva, because just now he mentions that amongst the particles, jiva is the smallest.
Mm-hmm.
So he is smaller than that.
Yeah, but at the same time as the jivas are him, because they're his energy. So in that way he's also the smallest. You can take it from either way.
So when he says, I'm smaller than the smallest, is that reference to Paramatma or not necessarily?
Means that potency to be the smallest, since he is the Yogeshwar, then being small is a potency, then he is the smallest. So now whether you take that of he himself directly as Vishnu Tattva is being smaller than the jiva, or you're simply taking that of all particles, the jiva is the smallest, and so therefore then, and that being non-different from him, meaning his energy, so in that way, he's the smallest. So either way, you know, as his energy, then, and as that, but point is, he's both. You know? And the sarup is the greatest of all shaktis, because it's everything.
So as a Paramatma, not necessarily he enters the jiva, he just accompanied jiva.
He accompanies the jiva. He doesn't have to enter the jiva, but he can. He's in every atom, so why can't he be that? He can be that size also. Right? So, but he comes because Paramatma, then he's the size of the, you know, in comparison to the thumb, you know, in the body. So then he says, you know, that means that's the whole thumb, not just the part up here. It means from the root of the thumb. You know, so that means he's like that big. And so he sits in the heart like that. But then, you know, an elephant, he'll be bigger. A blue whale, bigger than that. A mosquito, a bit smaller than that. You know, it'd be in that proportion of what's that size. Because, you know, means he can do that. Point is he can do anything. So we're the smallest, so he's smaller than that. Otherwise we'll be going, yeah, well, I'm the smallest. No, I'm even smaller. You know, it's like guy says, oh, but you know, my situation was worse than yours. No, mine was so much worse. You know, like that. They can just go on and on. You know what I'm saying? Until they're living in a shoebox and, you know, you like that kind of stuff. Yeah, that whole, I say, line of thought. So, yeah. Srimad Bhagavatam 9:19:29. O Lord Vasudeva, O Supreme Personality of Godhead, you are the creator of the entire cosmic manifestation. You live as the Supersoul in everyone's heart and are smaller than the smallest. Yet you are greater than the greatest and are all-pervading. You appear completely silent, having nothing to do, but this is due to your all-pervading nature and your fullness in all opulences. I therefore offer my respectful obeisances unto you. The Sutrakar next indicates the exact size of the jiva. Sutra 2.3.21. Swa shabdhon mana bhyam cha. Swa on shabda, word. Un mana bhyam, with measure. Cha, and. And because of two texts, with words which describe the jiva as atomic, it can be concluded that the jiva must be atomic. Sutra Prakashika. The Sutrakar quotes scriptures that specifically use the word atomic to establish that the jiva is atomic. Atomicity is precisely defined to be 1/10,000th the tip of the hair. Sri Govindavasya. Siddhanta. The word indicating atomic, swashabdha, is stated in the scriptures. Esho nur atma. The atma is atomic. Mundaki Upanishad 3:19. It is compared in size to an atom, unmanam. To describe the jiva, it is compared... To describe the jiva, it is compared in size to something else that you're showing compared. So the atom is the smallest particle of material energy.
Yes.
So then you compare to that because we know that that's very small.
Yes.
So then you say, you know, like that. Balagra satam bhagasya shatadha kalpitasya cha bhago jiva sa vigyaya sa chantan taya kalpate. Quote, the jiva is known to be a hundredth part of the tip of a hair and is qualified for liberation. Sri Sattara Upanishad 4:9. So they can be that size and be qualified for liberation. Right? So they exist, they have a size, and they're qualified for liberation. While the impersonalists will always say it's an illusion that they're there, and so then one's all Brahman. But if that's there, then what's the whole point? You're already Brahman anyway, so why are we discussing this? Right? And our discussion doesn't exist, we don't exist, so then,
yeah,
why get involved?
So Maharaj, for the impersonalists, the jiva has no size?
No.
Yes.
Like that. So they'll take it as either great or small. They don't care. Because
yes.
Whatever you take it, then it's always illusion. That's why the Mayavadis are... You know, of all of them, then you avoid them the most.
Yes.
I mean, technically, they're all Maya bodies because they don't understand the connection of the jiva, the material energy, and Krishna and the relationship.
Yes.
So there's always some Maya. There's yes. some illusion that yes. the soul has come from matter, all these different things. So they're all saying these things.
Yes.
Right?
So in that sense, trying to understand where from the jiva came without being considering the Ladini Shakti as the purpose of the jiva is to serve Lord, it becomes a big obstacle just on the sat and chit platform.
Yes. Means you can't, without understanding Krishna, you will not understand actually anything properly. So according to the modes of nature that are controlling one's conditioning, to that degree you'll understand. You know what I'm saying? That's all the more you'll look. You know, it's just like, let's say we bring in some very nice piece of artwork. You know, something very rare and all that. Okay, so someone who's an art connoisseur, then they'll look at it and appreciate some of the aspects and the timing and who's the artist and the tech, just like that kind of thing. But let's say you bring a dog in the room, they'll sniff it and then and walk away, like that. Does that make sense? So that's the whole point, is that everyone's just going to see according to their capacity. A little kid is just something to climb on. For some guy, some other guy is just a piece of junk. Some other guy, it'll be, something nice to put out in his garden.
Yes.
It's just, everybody will have their view. Does that make sense? So that's coming from their conditioning. So according to the conditioning, they're going to see a particular aspect of their concepts of the jiva, the material energy, and God. That's all. So without approaching God in devotion, Krishna won't reveal himself as a person. So you can't actually know why things are happening. Because they're not happening because of him as Paramatma or Brahman. They're happening because of him as Bhagavan. Because he's a person, that's why it's happening. Right? Because if they're saying, but if impersonal is the supreme, but why would the impersonal as no qualities need to manifest qualities? Why? What would be the intent? Because to have... does that make sense? What would be there would be no reason. But the person, now there's a reason. Because of relationships. The jivas who have turned away from the Lord because of their nature of being marginal. Then he makes an arrangement so that they can have that opportunity, like the Upanishad says, of being liberated. Right? Then there's a meaning to the material world. So then you can see it becoming God conscious and using the process of Yukta Vairagya while one's here. That becomes the natural position. Is that good? These two texts show that the jiva is atomic. The word anantya here means liberation. Anta means death, and an means without. Therefore, the word anantya means the condition of being freed from death. Bhagavatam verse reference, Srimad Bhagavatam 3:25-17. At that time, the soul can see himself to be transcendental, to material existence, and always self-effulgent, never fragmented, although very minute in size. Footnote 32, Srila Prabhupada comments. In the state of pure consciousness, or Krishna consciousness, one can see himself as a minute particle non-different from the Supreme Lord. As stated in Bhagavad Gita, the jiva, or the individual soul, is eternally part and parcel of the Supreme Lord. Just as the sun rays are minute particles of the brilliant constitution of the sun, so a living entity is a minute particle of the Supreme Spirit. The individual soul and the Supreme Lord are not separate as in material differentiation. The individual soul is a particle from the very beginning. One should not think that because the individual soul is a particle, it is fragmented from the whole spirit. The Mayavad philosophy enunciates that the whole spirit exists, but a part of it, which is called the jiva, is entrapped by illusion. This philosophy, however, is unacceptable because spirit cannot be divided like a fragment of matter. Right? Matter you can divide up, yes. But spirit you can't. It's not limited by time and space. Mm-hmm. So by having a pot and saying the air in the pot or the sky in the pot mm-hmm. is separated from the sky, the big sky. Mm-hmm. So if you break the pot, then it all merges. The point is that that you can do that in the material world because you can separate things. Mm-hmm. Right? You can measure things in that. The spiritual world is unlimited. You can't do that. It doesn't have time and space.
Yes. Even in the material world, we have examples of the sun and the sun rays. So
yes.
The sun rays are limited. The sun doesn't diminish in size.
Yes, yes, yes. So there's always something. If one example doesn't work, you use another.
Yes.
Right? Mm-hmm. Because that's always going to come up. Because, if somebody finds fault in one, you find one that they don't find fault in. They have a problem with sky, so then they're cool with the sun. Or they like that. So they make all these things because they're trying to say that they're God. But the point is you don't have to be God to be happy. They're thinking, unless I become God, I'm here, I'm an individual, I'm unhappy. And God's unlimited and happy, so therefore if I become God, I'll become happy. But you don't. You just have to turn to and serve God, you'll become happy. Mm-hmm. That's the... Shall we make sense? Yeah. That part, the jiva, is eternally a part. As long as the Supreme Lord Spirit exists, his part and parcel also exists. As long as the sun exists, the molecules of the sun's rays also exist. Yeah. So jiva always exists, but he's non-different. That's the whole point. That's difference and non-difference. The jiva particle is estimated in the Vedic literature to be 1/10,000th the size of the upper portion of a hair. But the upper part means the tip, because the tip's the smallest. The root's big, but the tip's very, very fine. So you take that tip, that's then what you divide up. It is therefore infinitesimal. The Supreme Spirit is infinite, but the living entity, or the individual soul, is infinitesimal, although it is not different in quality from the Supreme Spirit. Two words in this verse are to be particularly noted. One is nirantaram, which means non-different or of the same quality. The individual soul is also expressed here as animanam. Animanam means infinitesimal. The Supreme Spirit is all-pervading, but the very small spirit is the individual soul. Akhanditam means not exactly fragmented, but constitutionally always infinitesimal. So he's always that infinitesimal spark of the Lord.
Yes.
That's they have that individual consciousness.
And it also means complete.
Which?
Akhanditam.
Akhanditam.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. No one can separate the molecular parts from the sunshine from the sun, but at the same time, the molecular part of the sunshine is not as expansive as the sun itself. Similarly, the living entity, by his constitutional position, is qualitatively the same as the Supreme Spirit, but he is infinitesimal. Srimad Bhagavatam 3:25-17. So, same quality,
yes.
Just very small.
Yes.
And as Krishna is conscious and unlimited, then we are also conscious, being part of Krishna. Right? Yeah. Oh, Srimad Bhagavatam 6:16-24. As iron has the power to burn when made red hot in the association of fire, so the body, senses, living force, mind, and intelligence, although merely lumps of matter, can function in their activities when infused with a particle of consciousness by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. As iron cannot burn unless heated by fire, the bodily senses cannot act unless favored by the Supreme Brahman. Right, so he is the potency. So then in contact with him, they function like that. We're aware of them by our contact, but it's not that we make them function. The Lord makes them function. Right? The senses function because of him, not because of us. What we're interested in is what he arranges that they function in. It's according to our taste. But the functioning of it is actually the Lord's potency, not ours. We're just conscious of it.
So that is also in the spiritual world. For the liberated jivas, this applies. The same.
What does it matter? I'm saying, what means? Think about it. Why does that matter?
Because the conditioned jiva is very pitiable.
The conditioned soul is very pitiable because of this. So if the liberated soul has the same position, is he pitiable? Therefore, if he's pitiable, why should I work for liberation? Therefore, if I don't need to work for liberation, I don't have to give up attachment. Therefore, I can just enjoy the senses. So that's the best position for me.
Got it.
Okay?
Yeah.
Yeah. So in other words, just because they have a connecting concept doesn't mean that the context, that connection is what's being needs to be brought out.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Jai Srila Prabhupada ki,
Jai
Samaveta Bhaktivinoda ki,
Jai
Jai Nitai Gaura Premanandi.